Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tshuva Perek Bet. After describing in general terms what tshuva is in Perek Aleph, and explaining its role in achieving kapara, atonement for different types of averot, both at the time of the Beit HaMikdash and Bizman Hazeh, the Rambam in this perek elaborates on the specific ingredients of tshuva, both those which are necessary and those which aren't absolutely required, but which provide strong indications that the tshuva is sincere and lasting. We will also hear for the first time in this perek about the unique nature of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, as a period of time especially suited for tshuva, and specifically about the intensive vidui performed on Yom Kippur. Halacha Aleph, Ezohi Tshuva Gemura. What is genuine tshuva? When the former sinner has the opportunity to sin again in the same exact circumstances as when he sinned before, and he abstains from doing so for no reason other than that he has repented from his sin. For this reason, he should repent while he is still young and strong, and able to sin again if he wished. This way his tshuva can be proven to be completely genuine. What if he only repents when he is older, less strong, and unable for these reasons to repeat the sin even if he wished to? The Rambam continues, Vim lo shav ela bimei ziknuto uve'et she'ief sharlo lasot ma shaya ose, afa pi she'na tshuva meula, mo elatilo, uval tshuvahu, afilu avar kol yamav, ve'asa tshuva biyom mitato, umet bitshuvato, kol avonotav nimchalim. His tshuva in this case is valid and effective, and he is forgiven for his sins, even if he only does tshuva on the day he dies. But this isn't as ideal a form of tshuva, tshuva me'ula, as if he had done it earlier in his life. The Rambam explains the first psukim of the last parak of Kohelet, in which Shlomo urges the reader to remember God while he is young and strong, as a reference to this preference for tshuva performed earlier in a person's life. Halacha bet, umahi ha'tshuva, Here the Rambam goes into more detail about the ingredients of tshuva. As we saw in Perek Aleph, the sinner must abandon his sin, remove it from his thoughts, and decide with conviction that he will never do it again. And, the Rambam adds, he must genuinely regret his past sins, not just say he does, as we saw in the language of the Vidui in Perek Aleph, to the point where God himself can attest to the fact that this person will never repeat his past sins. And, the Rambam concludes, these aspects of tshuva as well, the commitment for the future and the genuine regret for the past, must be said verbally and not just thought in one's mind. Halacha Gimel. Kol hamitvadeh bidvarim velo gamar belibo lazov, harei ze domeh letovel v'sheretz biado, she'en hatvila mo'elet ad she'ashlicha sheretz, v'chein homer umodeh ve'ozev yirucham, v'tzarich lefaret et hachet, she'namar chata ha'amazeh chata agdola, v'yasu lahem elohei zahav. The Rambam brings here an analogy from another area of halacha to explain the futility of saying vidui without making a firm commitment to abandon the sin. It is the equivalent of tovel v'sheretz biado, immersing in the mikveh to be purified while holding on to a dead rodent, a sheretz, which is a source of tumah. The immersion is ineffective, as he is still holding fast to that which rendered him impure. The analogy brings to mind the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Yoma, in which Rabbi Akiva, based on the pasuk in Yirmiyah of mikveh Yisrael Hashem, speaks of God as a mikveh which purifies Bnei Yisrael of their sins. The Rambam concludes this halacha by saying that the sinner in his vidui must explicate his sins, but other Rishonim, including the Tur, rule that one need not explicate his sins in his vidui. It suffices to confess that he has sinned without elaborating on the details. We'll return in Halacha Hey to the question of whether it is better to confess his sins in public or in private. In Halacha Dalet, the Rambam, based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, lists several activities which he calls Darkei HaTshuva, behaviors which characterize genuine tshuva even if they are not absolute requirements. These include crying out to God for forgiveness, giving as much as one can to tzedakah, distancing oneself from that which caused him to sin, changing his name to signify that he has become a new person, improving his behavior generally, not just abandoning his sin, and finally moving to a new location, as exile causes a person to be more humble and submissive. It's interesting to note that even though in Halacha Aleph, the Rambam characterized ideal tshuva as one in which the sinner finds himself in the same exact situation as when he sinned, but abstains from repeating the sin, it is clear from his list in this halacha that the sinner should not try to put himself in that situation in order to prove himself, but just the opposite. He should keep a distance and even move to a new location. In Halacha Hey, the Rambam resolves a seeming contradiction between a pasuk in Mishlei, which criticizes someone who keeps his sins private and doesn't confess in public, and a pasuk in Tehillim, which seems to commend the exact same behavior. The resolution, according to the Gemara in Yoma, is that the first pasuk refers to Averot Bein Adam L'Chavero, while the second speaks of Averot Bein Adam L'Makom. One should confess publicly sins he commits against others, as this is a humbling act. But to confess publicly his sins against God is considered an act of insolence. The Ravid adds that if his sin is widely known, then the confession should be public even if the act is Bein Adam L'Makom. Since his sin is public, so must he shame himself publicly through his confession. Halacha Vav. Af al pi shatshuva ve'atzaka yafa le'olam, ba'aseret ha'yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah le'yom ha'kippurim, hi yafa biyoter, u'miyad hi mitkabelet, shne'mar, dirshu Hashem bihim atzao, kera'uhu biyoto karov. Bamed dvarim amurim biyachid, aval b'tzibur, kol zman shosin tshuva v'tzoakin b'lev shalem, he'na'anin, shne'mar, ka'ashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav. The Aseret Yimei Tshuva are considered an especially auspicious time for tshuva, based on the pasuk from Yeshayahu of Yirshu Hashem Bihim Atzo, Kira'uhu Biyoto Karov, seek out God when he is close, and these 10 days of the year are a time when God is indeed nearby. This is true for an individual seeking tshuva, but when the entire community wishes to do tshuva, this is accepted by God at any time. Halacha Zayin. Yom HaKippurim hu zman tshuva lakol, le'achid v'larabim, v'hu keitz mechila u'slicha l'Yisrael, l'fichach chayavin hakol lasot tshuva u'litvadot b'yom HaKippurim. Until this point, the Rambam has spoken of the obligation to repent and confess as one which is timeless. One does it whenever he is moved to do so. Now we are told that there is in fact one day a year, Yom Kippur, which is specifically devoted to forgiveness from sin, and therefore one is obligated to engage in vidui and do tshuva on that day. The Sefer Achinuch, who follows the Rambam in his codification of mitzvot, takes this one step further and says that anyone who does not confess his sins on Yom Kippur is guilty of being mevatel this mitzvah, in the same way that, say, one who doesn't hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah or doesn't eat matzah at the Seder is mevatel each of those mitzvot. This despite the fact that vidui has value every day and isn't only a mitzvah one day a year, like shofar and matzah. The strong link between Yom Kippur and tshuva is enough to make the neglect of that mitzvah on that day qualify as a form of bitul aseh. Continuing in Halacha Zayin, U'mitzvat vidui b'yom ha'kippurim shi'atchil me'erev hayom kodem shi'ochal, shema yechanek basuda kodem shi'itvadeh. ואף על פי שהתוודה קודם שאכל, חוזר ומתוודה בלילי יום הכיפורים ערבית, וחוזר ומתוודה בשחרית ובמוסף ובמנחה ובנעילה. ואחד מתוודה, יחיד אחר תפילתו, ושליח ציבור באמצע תפילתו בברכה רביעית. We perform vidui a total of 11 times over Yom Kippur, including one in the silent Amidat Mincha on Erev Yom Kippur, which is added lest one choke while eating his pre-fast meal and not have the opportunity to do the mitzvah on Yom Kippur itself. The other 10 times are during the 5 tefillot of Yom Kippur, including Musaf and Ne'ilah, in each one a vidui at the end of the silent Amidah, and one said together with the rest of the tzibur during the Chazan's repetition, or at Mariv during the Slichot after the Amidah. Many are machmir to add a vidui after the pre-fast meal and before the start of Yom Kippur. Ashkenazim say this in the text known as Tfilah Zakah, recited quietly just before Kol Nidre. In Halacha Chet, the Rambam rules that even after one has confessed to a sin and successfully abandoned it, he must continue to confess the same sin on Yom Kippur of every year. This illustrates the need for vigilance when doing tshuva. Success in overcoming the temptation to sin can be temporary, as the enticement that existed before is still there. Only by repeating the confession year after year can a person remind himself that he is now a new person whose sins are part of his past and must remain only a part of his past. The perek ends in Halachot Tet through Yud Aleph with the details relevant to how one does tshuva for a sin committed against another person. Halacha Tet: Ein hatshuva velo yom kippurim mechaprin ela averot shebein adam lemakom, kegon mi she'achal davar asur o ba'al bila asura v'chayotzei behem. Aval averot shebein adam lechavero kegon chovel chavero o mekalel et chavero o gozel v'chayotzei behem eino nimchal lo leolam ad sheiten lechavero mashu chayav lo viratzehu. Af al pi shechzir lo mamon shu chayav lo tzarich leratzoto v'lishol menu shimchol lo v'afilu lo hiknit et chavero ela bidvarim tzarich lefaiso v'lifgo bo ad shimchol lo. Even for a sin like bodily injury or damage to property, which mandates monetary compensation, paying money is not enough. The sinner must make peace with the victim and ask forgiveness for any sin, bein adam l'chavero, even if he just spoke harshly to him. What if the victim refuses to forgive? The sinner must ask him three times, each time in the presence of three different people, for a total of 10 witnesses to the attempts to ask for forgiveness, including the sinner himself. If after these three attempts the victim still refuses to forgive, then the sinner is freed of his obligation to pursue the matter further, and the stubborn victim is himself considered a sinner for refusing to forgive. The exception is if one sins against his Rebbe, in which case he must ask for forgiveness as many times as it takes. Halacha Yud: Asur l'adam shiyeh achzari v'lo yipayes, ela yeh noach lirtzot v'kashe lichos, uv'sha'a shemevakesh menu hachotei limchol, mochel b'levav shalem uv'nefesh chafetza, v'afilu heitzer lo harbe v'chata lo harbe lo yikom v'lo yitor. A person should not be cruel and refuse to forgive. Rather, he should be slow to anger and quick to be appeased. He should follow the example of Avram Avinu, who, as the Gemara in Bava Kama points out, immediately forgave Avimelech for taking Sarah when he returned her and did tshuva. And Avram even prayed to Hashem to cure Avimelech and his household, who had been afflicted with disease, as punishment for taking Sarah. The opposite kind of behavior, bearing grudges and desiring revenge in violation of the Isurim of Lo Tikom V'lo Titor, which we discussed at the end of Hilchot Deot, is exemplified by the non-Jewish Givonim, who at the end of Sefer Shmuel Bet insisted on putting to death two sons and five grandsons of Shaul HaMelech to avenge their suffering years earlier at his hands. If one sins against his neighbor and the victim dies before the sinner does tshuva, then the sinner must return any money owed to the inheritors, or to Beit Din if there are no inheritors, and in lieu of asking for forgiveness, he must assemble 10 people at the grave of the victim and confess his sin in front of them. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.